Are you ready for the word? Would you welcome Dr. Jerry Savelle?
Thank you. Thank you. Go ahead and be seated if you will. Praise the Lord. How many of you believe in being doers of the word? Well, I thought I'd preach on He gives His beloved sleep. Anybody want to act on that? Praise God. Amen. You having a good time?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. I wish you appreciate you coming. I see people in the lobby of the hotel that tell me they've been coming for several years. Every once in a while you meet one that says, I've never missed a convention. And some that tell you that this is their first time. But we're glad you're all here. Praise God. Glad the conference is blessing your life and inspiring your faith. And I believe God's going to confirm the word that you've been receiving and acting on with signs following. Amen?
Amen?
Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 115, first of all. Psalm 115. So I've mentioned to you in some of the previous services, I have been speaking on the subject of increase, God's way. My new book is on that title, or that is the title of the new book. I want to talk about some of that in this afternoon service, as this will be my last opportunity to share with you in this conference. Psalm 115, beginning in verse 12, the Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You are blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Notice verse 14 once again. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. Now, obviously, this does include offspring. God expected them to produce offspring. He did promise them that they would increase as a nation in numbers. But all you got to do is go back to the Old Testament and find out that He also promised to increase them in sheep and cattle, and increase them in silver and gold, and increase them in every area of their lives. So it doesn't end with offspring. I don't know about you, but I'm through with offspring. I'm 60 years old, and I don't want to raise another child, praise God. Amen. Now let my children produce the offspring, and I'll just be grandfather and great-grandfather and all that good stuff, praise God. But I'm certainly interested in the increase in the other areas. Amen. Because the more I increase, the more I can do for God. Obviously, if I increase financially, then the more I can do to impact lives all over the world with the uncompromising Word of God. And so notice, part of our covenant rights is that we increase. I said in one of the previous services, if you're not increasing, then it is a violation of your covenant rights. If you're not increasing, then Satan is stealing from you, and you need to declare a state of war where he is concerned. So God's best is abundance. God's best is overflow. God's best is no limitations. God wants us to increase in every area of our lives. And once again, if we're not, then it is a violation of our covenant rights. Our covenant is a covenant of increase. Everywhere you look in the Bible, where people obeyed God, the Bible says in Job chapter 36, verse 11, if you obey and serve Him, you will spend your days in prosperity and your years in pleasures. So notice, it was part of the covenant. God told Abraham in Genesis 12, 2, that I will bless you. To bless is to empower to prosper, to empower to increase. In the Amplified Bible, it says, I will bless you with an abundant increase of favors. When the favor of God is operating in your life, it brings increase in every area of your life. In fact, we see it working so well for Abraham that when he was told by the king of Sodom that he could take, all the spoil, Abraham said to him, I will not take from a thread even to a shoe latchet, and I will not take anything that is thine, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich. Abraham knew that his covenant provided wealth. It provided prosperity. It provided riches in gold and silver and other material things. And he said, I don't want it to ever be said that some man made Abraham rich. He says, it's God who has made me rich. So he knew that his covenant was a covenant of increase. In Genesis 24:1, it says that when Abraham had become an old man, the Lord had blessed him in all things. God had brought increase to him in every area of his life. And thank God we're the seed of Abraham. Look at somebody and say, I'm the seed of Abraham. And I'm an heir according to the promise. So if God promised increase to Abraham, then he's promising increase to you and me. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time for you to increase more and more. Amen. And did you notice God has no problem with you and I increasing more and more? In fact, most sinners don't even have a problem with you increasing more and more. It's religious people that choke on it. Amen. You know, there's for years and years, I live out on the south side of Fort Worth, and for years and years, I was just about the only thing out there. And I bought, you know, I'm a country boy. I like space. And so I bought some acreage out on the south side of Fort Worth, and most everybody that lived around me, it lived a long ways from me because it was farms and ranches, and these properties are passed down from generation to generation, and nobody's interested in selling. Well, I finally found a gentleman who was 80 years old, and he sold me some acreage, and then I began to believe for more and kept buying more and more acreage out there, you know, and eventually we built our dream home on that property, and then eventually we built our international headquarters out there. And so, you know, for a long time, we were the only thing out there. Well, then Fort Worth started growing our way, and they started buying up land around me and building subdivisions out there and all of that kind of thing. And, you know, every once in a while when I'm home on a weekend, which is kind of rare, but when I'm home on a weekend, you know, what I like to do when I'm not preaching is I'm either working on or riding a motorcycle, or I'm working on or driving a classic automobile. That's what I do in my, you know, some people golf. I found out I'm not a golfer. You know, so I like fooling with motorcycles and cars and hot rods and all that kind of thing. Well, I like to cruise. You know, when you got a beautiful 1957 Chevy Bel Air convertible, you like to cruise. Hallelujah. And so Carolyn and I get in our little 57 Bel Air, and sometimes she'll sit next to me, and I'll put my arm around her like we did when we were dating, and I'll turn on the rock and roll station, the 50s classics, real music. Amen. You know, Lost in the 50s tonight, praise God. You know, The Platters, Only You, you know, and Just a Dream, you know, and Why Must I Be a Teenager in Love, you know, and all those good songs, praise God. You know, I don't understand this stuff today. But anyway, the good stuff. And we'll drive to a classic 50s diner or restaurant, you know. And so every once in a while, I'll get out there on a Saturday when I'm home, and I'm cleaning up and waxing and getting my car ready for a little cruise or even to a car show. And this guy who moved in one of those subdivisions around us, you know, he comes by in his pickup. He's a coward. He won't stop. He just sees me out there in my yard, you know, and so he drives by real slow and he screams at me, "Hey, preacher, did you get that from stealing the offerings?" Then he drives by real fast, you know. Coward, you know. He don't have any idea what I've done to get what I've got. You know, I work hard. You know, the Bible does talk about God blessing diligence and God blessing the work of your hands. Man, I work hard. Not only that, I'm a sower. He don't know that I sold a garage full of classic cars into other people's life, and God blessed me with more and better. He don't know all that, you know. Huh? But I'm not going to let some idiot, excuse me, Lord, I forgive that guy again. I'm not going to let that guy stop me from increasing just because he don't understand. Amen. And just because he thinks that I'm doing something wrong. In fact, one day he did that, and before he could get away, I just screamed at him and said, "No, I didn't. It's called hard work. Try it."
Amen.
You know, the one thing that Jesus said would bring persecution into your life is the hundredfold.
Amen.
You know, when I didn't have anything, nobody was persecuting me.
Come on.
Not one person came up to me and said, "You ugly outfit, you. You got nothing, hadn't you?" No, they didn't start persecuting me till increase came. Huh? But listen, if that's the price for increase, hey, we can handle that, praise God, amen? Amen? So notice here, our covenant is a covenant of increase. God blessed Abraham in all things. Look at your neighbor and say, all things.
All things.
That means every area of his life, he experienced increase. Look at your neighbor and say, increase belongs to you. Amen. Increase belongs to us, praise God. And notice God said, "I will increase you more and more." That tells me no matter how much increase you may have experienced up to now, there's still more to come. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, "My best days are ahead of me." Hallelujah. Amen. So I want to challenge you to get ready for increase like you've never experienced before. God is opening doors that no man can shut. God's bringing down walls and barriers. They're going to fall flat. Limitations we've had in the past will not be limitations to us in the future. Increase is coming like we've never experienced before. Somebody give the Lord a shout if you believe it. Let me see the hands of all the righteous in here today. Proverbs 14:9 says, "Among the righteous there is favor." Favor. Favor. I love the favor of God. Hallelujah. The favor of God can get things into your life that you don't even need money for. It has greater value than money. Favor can get what money cannot buy. In fact, favor will enable you to have the world's best and not have to pay the world's price. Can you say amen? Psalm 5:12 says, "For thou, Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor will you compass him as with a shield." You ought to get up every morning declaring before you leave your house that the favor of God is on my life. I'm one of the righteous. I am crowned with glory and honor. And the favor of God surrounds me and covers me. Therefore, wherever I go today, the favor of God will be in operation. Praise God. Amen. My son-in-law heard me preach about this a few years ago, and I wrote a book entitled "Walk in Divine Favor," and he got that down on the inside of him, and he'd come over to the house, and he'd say, "Dad, I'm in the fog." I said, "What?" He said, "I'm in the fog." I said, "The fog?" He said, "Yes, F-O-G, favor of God." So I thought, hey, I like that. I'm going to borrow that, praise God. At least I'm telling where I got it. So I'd just like to give you a 5-day forecast. Fog, 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 and fog. Amen? The favor of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. When the favor of God is operating in your life, then you cannot help but increase. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 3 says, "That you may increase mightily, as the Lord God thy Father has promised thee." So notice, increase is a promise from God. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. "And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply," or increase, "thee, and thou shalt be blessed above all people." Hallelujah. So notice, the promise of God is that we increase in every area of our lives. That's what the favor of God will do. That's what your covenant will produce. You know, I am one of these strange people. My wife has told me that for years. I'm one of these strange people that has always looked forward to getting older. Getting older has never bothered me. I love getting older. I'm 60 now. And when I turned 60 on December the 24th this past year, Christmas Eve, I was 60 years old, and I got excited. And the reason I did is because in my mind, I'm now a senior citizen. I've always looked forward to being a senior citizen. Now, when I was 40, I wasn't, you know, too thrilled about somebody saying, "Are you a senior citizen?" Like one time I went to the Brahms. You know, you have Brahms out here? Ice cream place, hamburger place? Okay, well, it's like a Dairy Queen or, you know, something like that. You have Dairy Queen? No. What do y'all eat out here? Are you all health food nuts? Get you a good hamburger sometime. Just let the grease run down your mouth. It, you know, yeah, it's good. Praise the Lord. Not every day, but every once in a while, okay? And I went to this Brahms, and I walked in there, and I said, it was a breakfast time. I said, "Let me have that big breakfast." Man, it was scrambled eggs, bacon, toast, hash browns, coffee. I mean, it was a works. And she gave me all that, and she said, "That'll be $2.49. I said, "All that food for $2.49? She said, "You are a senior citizen, aren't you?" And I was only about 45. I said, "Woman, you charge me the full price. You understand? I am not a senior citizen." But when I turned 60, I went to Brahms and got me a $2.49 breakfast. Praise God. Now, the reason I get excited about being a senior citizen, Job 8:7. "Thy latter end should greatly increase more than your beginning." Now, God has brought increase into my life all these years. But he says, now that I'm a senior citizen, I'm going to experience increase greater than ever before. Hallelujah. How many of you are 60 or above? Stand up. Let me see all them senior citizens. 60 or above. Stand up. Hey. Hey. You know, they termed it right in the world. They just didn't really understand. These are our golden years. Years of increase like never before. Can you say amen? Amen. Tell somebody again, my best days are not behind me, they're just ahead of me. Amen. So, God is telling us that he wants us to increase more and more. Now, Job 22, verse 21 makes this statement. "Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto thee." Now notice he's telling us to get more and more acquainted with God. If you want more and more increase, then get more and more acquainted with God. You see, I've learned this over the years. I've been in this 38 years now, and I've learned this, that if you want God's best, you must do things God's way.
Amen.
Is that a great revelation? If you want God's best, then you must do things God's way. And here he's telling us that if we want more and more increase in our lives, then we need to spend more and more time getting acquainted and getting to know God. I know the first time I read in Philippians where the Apostle Paul made the statement that I might know him, I thought that's got to be a misprint. Because at the time that he wrote this, his relationship with Jesus, some theologians say, was 10 years, some say as many as 30 years. And we know that at this particular time, he probably knew Jesus better than any other person on the planet. And yet he said that I might know him. I thought anybody that knew Jesus as well as Paul did, and he's still number one, and still after all that time, his number one desire was that I might know him, then there's a key there. Can you say amen?
Amen.
As I said, I've been at this 38 years, and I've learned a lot about God. I've had some good fellowship with God. I've had some great times with God. I've enjoyed watching God do the impossible time and time again. But I, like Paul, can say to you today that I'm not resting on what I've already learned. I'm still just as hungry for God today as I was 38 years ago. I'm still searching, praise God. I'm still looking. I'm still developing this relationship. Amen. And it says, if I acquaint now myself with him, thereby good shall come unto thee. And verse 25 says, and yea, the Almighty shall be thy defense, and you shall have plenty of silver. So notice, one of the keys to experiencing increase from God, more and more, is to give God more and more of yourself. Are you still with me? Say this out loud. To have God's best, I must do things God's way. Say it again. To have God's best, I must do things God's way. Now, where are we going to find out how to do things God's way? That's what that book's for that's in your lap. That's God's way. Are you with me? Now, listen to this statement. In 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 31, it says this, "As for God, His way is perfect. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of God," or the word of the Lord, "is proven." Now notice the two things it says here. That God's way is perfect and the word of the Lord is proven. Perfect means it works every time that it is put to work. You look in your dictionary for the word perfect and it'll tell you without flaw and no defects. Now the Bible is telling us that God's way has no defects. God's way is without flaws. God's way works every time it is put to work. That's what perfect would mean. And it went on to say, and the word of the Lord is proven. That means it has passed the test of time. Now, for somebody to come up and say, "I tried that and it didn't work," that couldn't possibly be true. If that's true, then the Bible is misleading us. Because it said God's way is perfect. "Oh, but Brother Jerry, I know people that tried it and it didn't work." No, you don't. You know people that thought they did it His way. But His way is perfect. Now see, if you don't settle that in your heart, that His way is perfect, then you're always going to wonder, "Well, what if I do this and it doesn't work?" See, you got to get that out of your heart. If you don't get that out of your head and your heart, you're going to struggle with trusting God for the rest of your life. I have settled it. God's way is perfect. If I don't get the results the Bible says I am supposed to get, then I never say it's not working. I say I'm missing it. Thank you for your enthusiasm. I know a lot of you don't want the responsibility of it being you might have missed it. Well, they got quiet on this side. I'll try preaching over here. Huh? God doesn't miss it. God doesn't miss it. God's way is perfect. Say that. God's way is perfect. And His word is proven. That simply means that it has passed the test of time.
Amen.
Amen. So if you will settle in your heart that God's way is perfect, and if I want God's best, I must do things God's way, and if I do things God's way, and since His way is perfect, I will get results every time.
Amen.
That doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Now, the Bible also reveals to us that there's really only two ways that a person can go about life. Only two ways that you can do things. Number one, we've just found out that God's way is perfect, so that means God has a way. But listen to this. Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right. There is a way that seems right. But then 1 Samuel 12:23 says, "But I will teach you the good and the right way," speaking of God's way. So we could say it this way. Proverbs 14:12 says there is a way that seems right, but 1 Samuel 12:23 says there is a way that is right. Now I'm tired of going the way that seems right. Anybody else tired of that? You just don't get God's best when you go the way that seems right. You get God's best when you do things God's way. Are you with me? Look at your neighbor and say, "Sounds like good news to me." The reason I'm having you repeat so much, I'm trying to keep you awake. I know you're paying attention when you're repeating. In a few moments, Jesse's coming to preach to you, praise God, and his sermon's going to be on Jesus wept. So it'll be real short, and then you can go home. But you're going to stay awake while you're in my service, okay? I'm kidding. Praise the Lord. Not about you staying awake, but I was kidding about the other. Okay. Now, once again, there's only two ways. There is a way that seems right. And then there is the way that is right. And the way that is right is God's way. Let me give you an example. Tithing. To the person who says, I can't afford to tithe, what he just did is he went the way that seemed right. To the person who says, I better pay my light bill with my tithe this month. What did he do? He went the way that seemed right. He's not going to get God's best. God's best is, bring me the tithe. It's mine. It's holy. I got the same results on this side. Let's try over here again. Huh? And you know what's amazing? There's a lot of preachers sitting over on that side. I'm kidding. No, see, the person who says, well, I just can't afford to tithe this month. I better hold on to that money because I might need it for this. And you never know. I mean, things are hard and times are tough. I better hang on to the tithe. That was the way that seemed right. See, it seemed right in your mind. To you, it was logical. To you, it made good sense. But to the Bible, it's the way that seems right. And you're not going to get God's best if you keep conducting your life doing things the way that seems right. You only get God's best when you do things God's way, because God's way is perfect. Now, the person that says, well, in the natural, man, it looks like the worst thing I could do this week is take my tithe down there to my church because we've had a tough week financially. But I know the Bible says if I bring my tithes to God's storehouse, He will open the window and pour out blessings upon me that there won't be room enough to contain. So I cast down that thought and I'm taking my tithe anyway. Now, this man just did the thing that is right. And God's way is perfect. And he will get results. He may not see the results before dark. He may not see them within the next 24 hours. But God promises that if he does things God's way, he will get God's best. It's just a matter of time. And no devil in hell will be able to keep you from prospering. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a shout if you believe it. Amen. Now, open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. And let's look once again at the way that seems right and the way that is right. Proverbs chapter 11. Verse 24. There is one who scatters. Talking about sowing seed financially. There is one who scatters yet increases more. Yes. We talked about the Lord shall increase you more and more. Here's a very important key to increasing more and more. You scatter seed. Amen. That means you look for opportunities all the time. Amen. That means that you're not a part-time farmer and the only time you sow is on Sunday. Amen. You're looking for opportunities to sow seed all the time. Amen. And notice it says there is one who scatters yet increases more. All right, now that's the guy who's basing his life on the way that is right. Amen. Amen? The way that is right is to be a sower. But now notice it says, and there is one. Now here's the guy that is going to live on the principle of it seems right. And there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. Now notice we got both those guys in those verses. The one guy has based his life on doing things God's way, knowing that God's way is perfect. And then we got this other guy who does things based on it seems right. Notice he's withholding, and it says he's withholding when he should be sowing. Amen. He's withholding when he should be sowing. And because he withholds when he should be sowing, and it seems right to him, all it does is lead to poverty. I believe the Amplified Bible says won't. It will lead to won't. Where this guy is always in want. He never has enough. Why? Because he bases his life on the way that seems right.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
See, to the person who is moved by what they feel, they're going by the way that seems right. To the person who's moved by what they see, he's living his life based on the way that seems right. The guy that says, you know, seeing is believing, that's the way that seems right. But the way that is right is believing is seeing. See, the guy that says, well, as soon as my miracle happens, I'm going to praise God. That's the way that seems right. The guy that operates on God's way says, I am going to praise God in advance, even though I can't see any evidence, because I know God will not let me down. God will not fail me. God's word will come to pass. So I'm going to praise him in advance. Hallelujah. That's the way that is right. See, you're operating on one or the other. And there is no third way. There's two ways. The way that seems right and the way that is right.
Amen.
And when you and I determine that we're going to base our life on the way that seems or that is right, not seems right, then we're going to get God's best.
Amen.
Now you can understand why David would make this statement in Psalm 27. Listen to what David said. Verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord. Now, that became the cry of my heart in 1969 when Brother Copeland came and preached the Word of God like I'd never heard before, and I got it into my life and I made a decision I was going to live by the Word of God. That was the next thing that came out of it came out of my wife first, but then it came out of my life. You know, was, Lord, teach me your way. I want to know your way. I had gone my way all those years previous. And I found out Jerry does not make a good Lord over his life. I was not a good Lord over my life. Because I lived my life always based on the way that seemed right. Everything I did it because it seemed right. You know, the Apostle Paul made a statement I believe it's recorded in the book of Acts. Perhaps it was Luke that was writing about it, but I believe his situation with the Apostle Paul. And he made this statement, it seemed right to me and the Holy Ghost. Now, that's a difference. It seemed right to me and the Holy Ghost. When it's right with the Holy Ghost, then you can count on it's going to turn out right. Amen. But see, I did not include the Holy Ghost in my life in those days. I just did what seemed right. If it seemed right, do it. But then I discovered there's another way. And his way is perfect. And the cry of my heart became, teach me your way. God, teach me your way. I'm tired of living this way. This way is not producing. This way was sending me to hell. This way was bringing poverty into my life or lack all the time. Not real poverty. I never experienced poverty, but lack and want all the time. I got tired of being a failure. Amen? I got tired of just existing. I got tired of just being, you know, one among multitudes that were just on this planet existing. And then I found out that there's a better way. There's another way. There's a way that is perfect and it works every time. Now, I didn't learn God's way all in one night. In fact, I still don't know all of God's way. But the part that I do know worketh.
Amen.
Amen. It's working, praise God. I'd hate to think where I might be today if I did not pray that prayer 38 years ago, Lord, teach me your way. And you know, today for a Christian to cry out, Lord, teach me your way, and never learn God's way, there's no excuse for that. Not with what we have access to today. In 1969, when I got a hold of this, there were only a handful, I'm talking handful, of people who were called Word of Faith preachers. There was no such term in 1969, Word of Faith Church. Didn't exist. Brother Copeland, when I went to work with him in 1970, and we would travel to different cities, and you know, and back then a crowd in the evening service in Brother Copeland's meeting, 150 people, that was a crowd. And of course, I traveled everywhere with him, and after the meetings, they'd come up to me and say, what do we do now? Where do we go now? Our church doesn't preach like this. What do we do now? I couldn't say, well, down on the corners, word of life, word of faith, word of victory, word of triumph. There's so many names now, dear God. We got thousands and thousands of word of faith churches. We got more word of faith preachers in here today than we had people in the audience in 1969. That's a blessing, praise God. Amen. And I say, well, I don't know where to tell you to go, because there were no going by that label, word of faith churches. They'd go back to their churches and their pastor try to talk them out of everything they'd learned from Brother Copeland the 3 days before. Amen? Mm-hmm. Same thing happened to me. Brother Copeland came and he preached the word of faith, and I'm telling you, I got a hold of it. And the church he preached it in, where I heard it, was a large church. But the majority of them did not believe what Brother Copeland said. They didn't like it because it went against their traditions. The associate pastor of that church sat on the platform while Brother Copeland was preaching and shook his head like this to let the audience know, I don't agree with what this man's saying. And then when he'd leave town, I got 9,000 questions, and where's Brother Copeland? Nowhere to be found. Left me for the dogs, you know. And I'd go up to some of them and say, what about this faith stuff? Be careful, be careful. I say, be careful? You people have been praying for the last 3 years that I'd give my life to Christ. Now that I have, you're telling me, be careful? Yeah, be careful. You never know what God will do. I said, well, that don't make good sense. Huh? You're asking me to put my trust in the hands of somebody that you never know what they're going to do? That doesn't make good sense. Well, sometimes he does and sometimes he don't. Well, then how am I going to trust him? What if I'm trusting him and it happens to be one of the times he don't? That doesn't make good sense. I said, well, Brother Copeland said, oh, watch that Copeland. Watch that Copeland. I said, why? He's an extremist. I said, what's an extremist? We don't know, but he's one. I went home, looked in the dictionary for extremists. Found out I wanted to be one. Hallelujah. I found out Brother Copeland was extremely healed, extremely blessed, extremely prosperous. I went back to church and said, too late, I are one. I'm an extremist, praise God. Amen. One lady told me, now this is supposed to be the pillar of the church. This lady, they called the pillar of the church. So I thought, well, maybe she knows something. And I went to her one day and I said, they tell me that you know God better than anybody in this church, and that you've been walking with God for many, many years, and your husband was very influential in the Pentecostal movement, and said, I got some questions. And before I could ask her, she said, I know what's on your mind. I said, what? She said, you want faith like Oral Roberts. I said, no, ma'am, that's not my question. And that was not on my mind. But now that you brought it up, yeah, I'd like to have faith like Oral Roberts. She said, I knew it. I said, no, that was not what I was thinking. You planted that thought in my head. She said, well, just forget it. You can't have it. I said, no, wait a minute. Why can't I have faith like Oral Roberts? I said, I believe he's a great man of God, and I highly respect him. And man, I mean, I'm not trying to compare myself to Oral Roberts in any way, but why can't I have faith like Oral Roberts? You mean he's the only man in the world that can have that kind of faith? She said, virtually, yes. I said, why? She said, he's special. And that makes you feel real good. He's special. What's that make you? Chop liver? You know? I said, well, okay, he's special, I agree. But would you mind telling me why he's so special? And why he's got this great faith? And why can't anybody else have it? And why can't I have it? She said, well, if you must know. And then she looked around like, we don't want the CIA finding out about this. You know, I mean, it's like it's top secret. She said, if you must know, it's because of his name. I said, what? She said, it's because of his name. I said, his name? She said, yes. Don't you know in the Bible there are names that God gave people that are very special, and it reveals their nature Abraham the father of many nations? I said, yeah, I've heard that, but oral? What's so special about oral? I said, it's a strange name. I said, I read his book, and he said his mama is full-blood Cherokee Indian. What Cherokee names their kid Oral? Yeah. He ought to have been Big Eagle, Strong Bear, yeah. Running Bear, Big Wolf. Oral? Who names an Indian Oral? You know anybody in your tribe named Oral? Is there a Navajo anywhere you know that's Oral? What was she thinking? And that's not really his first name. His first name is Granville. Granville? A full-blood Cherokee named Granville? Oral? And she's trying to tell me the reason I can't have faith like Oral Roberts is because his name is special? I said, well, ma'am, would you please tell me why Oral's name is so special? She said, you don't get it, do you? I said, I don't get it. She said, say it. I said, Oral. She said, say it again. I said, Oral. She said, say it again and again. Oral, 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 Oral. She said, you don't get it? I said, I don't get it. She said, you really are dense, aren't you? Oral, Oral, Oral. I said, I don't get it, lady. What is so special about Oral? She said, don't you know what Oral means? I said, I have no idea. The spoken word, oral, spoken word, oral, spoken word, oral, spoken word. I said, you mean to tell me this man has great faith because his name is Oral and it means the spoken word? She said, that's it. And you got stuck with Jerry and she walked off. I thought that ain't fair. Now, my heart just didn't go for that, but, you know, she's the pillar of the church. What do I know? I've just been in this a few weeks. She's been in this all of her life. You familiar with the Thompson Chain Bible? Isn't that the one, Carolyn? Her husband helped write it? Or was it Dakes? One of the two. I mean, she's way up there. And I'm 6 weeks. And I can't have faith like Oral because my name's Jerry. Well, I went home a little depressed. And I thought, that couldn't be right. So I thought, well, I'm going to look in the dictionary and see what Jerry means. That made it even worse. You know what the dictionary defines the name Jerry as? Slang name for a German. During World War II, they called Germans Jerrys. I said, God, how will I ever get anything done with a slang name of a German? You gave Oral the spoken word. Well, thank God, that's not true. The Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. The Bible says that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. The only difference in Oral and me and Oral and you was he took his measure and he kept feeding on the word and faith came and his measure grew. And you can do exactly the same thing. Keep feeding on the word. Keep feeding on the word. And it don't make any difference if your name is mud. You can have strong faith. Hallelujah. Several years later, now Oral Roberts was sitting in the Mabee Center when I told this exact same story. Several years later, I got an opportunity to visit with a rabbi. And as I was leaving, he said, by the way, have you ever wondered what your name means in Hebrew? I said, no, I have never researched that. I have no idea. He said, well, I just thought you'd like to know. It means appointed by God. I said, look out, Oral. Hey, I'm appointed by God. Hallelujah. Amen. But that's not why my faith grew. My faith grew because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Now see, if I'd have listened to that lady, I'd have spent the rest of my life going the way that seemed right. But I chose to go the way that is right. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right, now, what did the psalmist say? Teach me your way. Go to Matthew chapter 6 very quickly. Teach me your way. Matthew 6:33, you're all familiar with this, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You could paraphrase it this way. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and increase will come. Because if things are being added to you, then that means increase is coming into your life. Would you agree? Now, the Amplified Bible says, seek, aim at, strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness. And then it defines this as his way of doing and being right. So what is Jesus telling us? If you want God's best, and God's best is increase, more and more. If you want God's best, then you should make your number one pursuit not increase, but God's way of doing things. If you will make as your number one pursuit God's way of doing things, then he says all these other things will be added to you. Or in other words, if you will make your number one pursuit God's way of doing things, then increase will be the result all the days of your life. And just about the time you think you've increased all you're going to increase, God will say, I'm going to take it to another level and I'm going to bring you more and more. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, obviously, what I'm talking about in pursuing God's way of doing things, you're not going to get it all done in one night, but you got to start one night. I've been at it 38 years. Brother Copeland's been at it 40 years. And we're still doing it. I haven't laid the Bible down and said, well, I know all I need to know. No, every time I pick up the Bible, I find out how inexhaustible one scripture is. Just by the time you think you got all the revelation you could possibly get out of that one scripture, go pick it up again. And you'll find out there's nuggets of truth and revelation that you didn't know was there, praise God. And then you put it to work. You become a doer and not a hearer only.
Amen.
Amen. And as a result of it, since God's way is perfect, meaning it has no flaws and no defects, then you can count on it working every time. Now, the problem with most people is the reason they don't think it works every time is because they give up too soon, too quickly. And as I said in one of the previous services, at the point that you give up was also the point of your breakthrough.
Amen.
When the devil's waking you up at the middle of the night and telling you, give up, no way, might as well quit, you can't stand anymore, that ought to be a clue. You got him under pressure. You have got him by the jugular vein. I love it when he says, no way, no way, because I know what he's really saying is, the way is about to show up.
Amen.
Amen? There's a path running through all this, and God's about to open that path up for you. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So, my challenge to you this afternoon is simply this. If you want God's best, then you have to do things God's way.
Amen.
The psalmist said, teach me your way. And once you discover God's way in his word, then make a commitment to it. I'm going to do that. If it says walk in love, walk in love. If it says stay out of strife, stay out of strife. If it says forgive, forgive. If it says give, give. If it says scatter, scatter. Amen? What are you doing now? You are doing the way that is right. The way that seems right leads to destruction. The way that is right leads to the abundant life. Hallelujah. Did you get something out of this afternoon?
Amen.
Give the Lord a good shout of praise and thank him for it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Would you stand for a moment, please? Brother Jesse is about to come. Hallelujah. Lift your hands with me if you will, please. Make this confession of faith together. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I've made a quality decision. I want your best in my life. And to have your best
requires doing things your way.
Therefore, Heavenly Father,
teach me your way.
I am an eager student.
I am ready to receive.
I make a fresh commitment today
to be a doer of your word
and not a hearer only.
If I have a choice
to do it the way that seems right
or to do it the way that is right,
I'm going the way that is right every time.
And I believe
if I do things God's way,
and since His way is perfect,
I'll get results every time.
Satan, I take authority over you.
I refuse to listen to your lies.
I cast them down.
Don't ever say to me again,
nothing's working,
because I won't believe it.
I know that I know.
When I do things God's way,
something's working.
In fact, it's working right now.
My God
is working behind the scenes
to meet every need
in my life.
I believe it.
In Jesus' name,
amen.
Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Be seated one more time, if you will, please.
Let's act on Proverbs 11 this afternoon. He that scatters increases. That's God's way.
You say, well, I've already sown.
Well, that's sown.
But he said, he who scatters, plural.
So God's idea is that we look for opportunities to sow seed all the time.
I heard someone say one time, every time an offering is received, that's God giving you an opportunity to increase your income.
So let's sow again this afternoon.
Ushers, if you are prepared, everyone that needs an offering envelope for their cash giving, would you hold up your hand, please? The ushers will give you an offering envelope. You can fill it out, put your name and address on it. If you're making out a check, you know to make it out to Kenneth Copeland Ministries.
You know, in Galatians chapter 6, Paul talks about sowing. He says that a man's harvest in life depends entirely upon the seeds which he sows. And then it drops down and it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. A lot of times we take that scripture and take it out of its setting and, you know, and use it over here for don't give up, you know, keep standing. Yes, you can use it. It's certainly applicable. But if you keep it in its setting, he's talking about don't get weary in sowing. Don't ever get weary in sowing. Don't ever stop sowing. Because if you faint not, you will reap, praise God, Paul tells us. So don't ever stop sowing. Look for opportunities to sow. Anyone else need an offering envelope? Keep your hand up. There's a few up here on the front area. Keep your hand up until you get an offering envelope. And once again, make your checks out to Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Well, it's a joy today to have George and Terry Pearson's in the conference. They're the pastors of Eagle Mountain International Church. George and Terry, stand up. Give them a good hand, praise God. Amen. They pastor an awesome church. Or let me say this, they're awesome pastors who have a church. Praise the Lord. If you ever get to come to Fort Worth, come to the Fort Worth Convention, come early where you can go to church out there with them, praise God. They'll bless you and inspire you and teach you how to be winners in life. Amen. All right, ushers, if you will, let's go ahead and receive this afternoon's offering. And then in just a few moments, Brother Jesse's going to be coming. Let me remind you once again that all of the services are being recorded and you can get the entire package of the entire convention, or you can order them individually of just services that perhaps spoke to you in a very special way that you'd like to hear again. You can do it that way. In fact, they're available immediately after this afternoon service, and you can pick them up before you walk out of the convention center. Let me also remind you that all of the speakers and musicians have material that's available to help you in your spiritual growth. Lynn Mink has a new Gospel Duck CD that you need to get. I love Gospel Duck. My grandchildren love gospel ducks, the little ones. They love it. Sometimes we're driving down to our lake house and they want us to put on gospel duck, and we all have to try to sing like him. You know. But he's got a brand new one that is awesome, and it's out there. And of course, Jesse has great material, and Brother Copeland and Creflo and Keith Moore, and our material is available as well. The book I mentioned earlier, Increase God's Way, is our newest book, and it's out there. And in fact, after Jesse gets through, I'll be autographing that book for those of you that are interested in that. And check out the material, because it's designed to bless you. This is how I got where I am, praise God. I started out on tapes and books, and I still listen to tapes and still read books to this day. They're inspiring to your faith. Amen? Amen. All right, ushers, go ahead and receive the offering, and let's welcome Brother Jesse. Hallelujah. Come on, Jesse.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
Give Dr. Savelle a hand clap. Come on. Give him a good one. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What a blessing. Go ahead, receiving the offering. If they've received the offering, the buck has passed you. Stand to your feet, stretch a little bit. I know you've been sitting for a while. Get some blood to flow. Hallelujah. If you got to rub something, rub it quick. Close your eyes. Just rub. That's all I can tell you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I do like preaching these conventions because you get to wear a little casual, you know, when you live in suits and ties all the time. It's just such a blessing. And who delivered us from the tie and was Jerry Savelle. Jerry said, I'm just going to wear what I want. And we all follow Jerry. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's a German. We got to follow Jerry. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not a senior citizen. I'm Centrum Silver. That's what I am. I look older than Jerry, but I just made 58 years old. But I have been getting senior citizen discounts since I'm 32, and I love it. Kathy get real mad about it. One time went to the show, and this lady, this girl, she about 16, 17 years old, and she said, would you like the senior citizen's discount? I said, yeah. Kathy said, he ain't that old. Shut up, woman, shut up. Let the Lord bless me. I don't mind. Glory. Because if you got white hair, you know what kids think? Lord, Jesus. Ice Age, you know? He came from the Ice Age and stuff like that. But I don't know. I guess, is it 60 when you become a senior citizen? Is that how that works? In your mind. Okay, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know. But because I'm serious. I'm kicking. My hair's been gray since, good Lord, since I'm 33 years old. And then it turned white when I was about 40, 45, but it hadn't turned loose, so I thank God for that. My hair. Hallelujah. So, praise the Lord. But, I just receive them. I say, if you think I'm a senior, I'll receive that. Hallelujah, man. I mean, and Kathy always tells them, I just keep hitting the Lord Jesus, woman. Let the Lord bless us. Praise the Lord. You may be seated if you can. Hallelujah. What a blessing of the Lord. And as I've said in all my sessions that I've been here, it's been such an honor to minister. Of course, the meeting's not over, but this is my last session. Because I'll be today was Brother Jerry's last session. Of course, Brother Copeland ministering tonight. And then the healing school tomorrow. And the assignment God gave me for the day services was living out the will of God here in the earth. So go with me once again to Matthew chapter 6 in the New Testament. The most famous prayer is the Our Father prayer. Most people can quote it, but I took one verse 10 out of it to develop this series here. But we'll start with verse 9. After this manner, therefore pray ye, this is Jesus talking, Our Father, not a father, not some father, but Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now that's telling me something, that God wants everything happening here exactly like it happens there. Yet the church world for 2,000 years said, well, when we get there, we'll be able to enjoy that kind of blessing. But either you lying or God's lying, and I pick you, because God's not man that he can. Yeah, but how can you live in heaven or have a heaven on earth is believing the word of God. And beside believing, receiving what God said. So I want to go over in part one, I dealt with living out the will of God includes confession. And I use the scripture calling those things that be not as though they were in Romans chapter 4, verse 17. And I told you that the confession engine of the word is where the power lies. But the problem with the church world, and I showed you in Genesis how God confessed and God said, and then God saw he possessed. But in 2,000 years of Christianity, we've switched it from possession to confession. In other words, if I'll say it once I got it, let me possess it first and then I'll say it. And the Lord never has operated that way and never will. In fact, when he told Abraham, he said, go to a land that I will show thee. He didn't tell him where he was going. He just started walking. I mean, 75-year-old man just walking out in the desert, you see. But he was confessing and believing. But, you know, church world don't like the word confession, you know, because they want to possess first. But Jesus said, you've got to confess and then possess. Then I dealt with living out the will of God includes childlike faith, which is simply trusting what God says. And a lot of people want to come to God as an adult. You don't act like a child, but you come as a child, see, because a child will believe what you say if you don't lie to them. So you got to have living out the will of God includes childlike faith. In other words, when you have that kind of childlike faith, you begin to believe the unbelievable and you begin to receive and do the impossible. Simply because you've lost your sense knowledge and you're walking in straight revelation knowledge. You're walking out of your spirit through a renewed soul, through a crucified body. Then in part two, I dealt with living out the will of God includes using the power within you. If greater is he is in you than he is in the world, then bless God, there's nobody can get in your face anywhere on this planet that you cannot defeat them. If greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. If God means what he says and says what he means. And I said, you need to know that you have the power to stay on course no matter what. That problems always arise and distractions always try to distract. And when you know that, that's half the battle, see. So I know what the devil's going to do because he never does anything by faith. He does everything by flesh. He's not a faith devil. He's a flesh devil. And you can prove that in so many different ways. By the time he saw Jesus, he asked Jesus to do something he could see. He said, you know, if you're the son of God, he didn't even know if he was because he's an old devil. He said, you know, if you be the son of God, do something. Turn that stone into bread. He figured if he can turn that rock into bread, then that's got to be the man. And Jesus said, no. Notice everything he ever does, he asks you to do in the flesh. But if you crucify your flesh daily instead of Sunday, you don't have a problem with the flesh. Now, I'm going through this and just give me a little brief. This is living out the will of God here on the earth. So you don't act like an idiot when you get to heaven. Because like I say, it's hard to move from a trailer to a mansion. You don't know what to do. You go from a trailer to a mansion. You see? Or from what we call in South Louisiana, a shotgun house. Which means you can shoot a shotgun, go all the way from the front through the back door, because everything is just one shot. How many know what a shotgun house is? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Well, you see, all of a sudden you take a person like that and you put him in a mansion, they don't know how to handle himself. Well, I can prove that to you in the flesh. And these people win these lotteries, they go slap crazy on the lottery. 2 or 3 years later, went through $100 million, broke, busted, disgusted, and in jail. Why? Because, you see, they didn't know how to handle it. And what God wants you to do is have his will done here, so like you say, you don't act like an idiot when you get to heaven. See, all of a sudden you go, oh, yes, I'm used to this. And instead of just praying in your closet, the difference is when you get to heaven, you just walk to the throne and have an audience with God Almighty. And then I dealt with living out the will of God includes throne time. And I said throne time is not church time. Church time is school time. Church is where you learn things. ABC 1, 2, 3. Throne time is when you and God get away from relationship in the sense of start talking fellowship. You become a friend of God. Yes, you have a relationship, but it gets deeper and deeper as you fellowship with God. And I dealt with that, and I said, when you visit the throne, you won't come back with conflicting ways to deal with life. You come back with the mind of Christ, which is a clear thinking mind. And I showed you how Adam and God, when they talked in the garden, and I said this, when you're working hard for God or hardly working at all, you still need to visit the throne. And he came and visited with him in the cool of the day. But so many people, the only time they read the Bible is when they go to church, when they ought to be listening. Because that's school time. Throne time is at your house where you come and you get with God. See, school time, because throne time, not church time. Church time is school time. That's where you learn and you walk out, see. And then once you've learned something, if a test comes your way, you pass it. But when you go to the throne, it's just wonderful to talk to God. Then I also dealt with, in part three, living out the will of God includes refusing to be confused. The Lord said a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. What does the word double-minded mean? I call it a want of faith. Because, see, you toss to and fro. You don't know exactly which way to go. You're double-minded, see. Anyone can double-minded. You're not double spirit. You're double-minded. Your mind has not been transformed so that you may know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, but you have conformed to whatever is happening around you. You see, and all of a sudden, now you're living on the earth like anybody else. And you should never judge Christianity by Christians, because you're going to lose. You judge Christianity by Christ, who never lost. You see? You see what I'm saying? So, a double-minded man is unstable. You don't even like double-mindedness. Even when you date, when you got a girl, one day she loves you, the next day she don't know. That kind of irritating. And vice versa. You know, when a man says, I love you, and the next day, you know, I mean, maybe we ought to separate a while, just apart for a while. That's very irritating. That's double-mindedness. You see what I'm trying to say? People don't like it in the flesh as well as in the spirit. So I dealt with that in part three. Now let's deal with part four here. And coming from the Our Father, verse 10, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now write this down as the last of this series in part four. Living out the will of God includes a life of unwavering faith. Living out the will of God includes a life of unwavering faith. Now, the problem is, most people just miss what I said. Living out the will of God is living out a life, not an act of unwavering faith, but a life of unwavering faith. See, a lot of times we may have some acts of unwavering faith. In other words, we did it right, but our lifestyle is not unwavering faith. Did you get that? So listen to the point. Living out the will of God includes a life of unwavering faith, not an act. So sometimes it hits good and you think, well, praise God. But you never know what God's going to do. But Jerry was saying, and that's totally wrong. You do know what God's going to do. He's going to do what his word says. Now, you see, here's something else that people don't understand about persecution. Paul said, our light affliction is but for a moment. That's the Apostle Paul. But the church world's made it a lifetime. They changed the moment into a lifetime. So after a while, and you've been so conditioned to having a bad day that a bad day becomes a normal day. Because you think you got to be persecuted and suffered all the days of your life. When that's simply not true. It's the same way. Living a life, living out the will of God includes a life of unwavering, not an act. Even though you didn't waver on some act of faith and that was great, you're going to have this as a lifestyle. Now let's go to James chapter 1. We're going to some very familiar scripture. James chapter 1. And I believe you'll enjoy this. Praise the Lord. And be blessed by it. James chapter 1. Hebrew James, that'll help you. Now, why did James write this? Give all these verses. Let's read this verse. James chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Well, it's verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, most people don't do that. They ask a preacher. Or they go find a book. Nothing wrong with that. But it's contrary to what the word said. But let him ask of God that give it to all, not just men, to all, liberally. Because God don't like dummies. He wants you to be in the know. And upbraid it not, and it shall be given to you. But let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. And then he tells you what happens. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I want to deal with it, verse 6 and 7. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Now, why did God choose James to pin that? And God make it holy canon. Because of all the disciples, James was in the worst place. He was the pastor of the Jerusalem church. You see, wherever there's the most religion is where the worst place is. Religion is a garden of weeds. It's a theological wilderness. It will choke you. It promises you everything and it gives you nothing. That's just simply fact. That is religion at its best. It promised you everything. But at the end, when you think you might get it, you are not worthy. Shut your ugly self and just suffer and be persecuted. So he was in the worst spot because that's where the greatest religion was, Jerusalem. Notice that with all the religious people there, he had the hardest time financially of anyone else. You always had people sending money to the Jerusalem church. Why? Because those people that were religious wasn't giving nothing. Religion will do that. Religion asks of you, but never gives. It's a one-way street. And the longest one-way street you'll ever be on in your life. So God had James pin this. So from his point of view, he's not only pinning it by revelation, he's pinning it by experience. He says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. So living out the will of God includes a life of unwavering faith. Write this down. If you put your faith in something other than the Lord, it is like you're in the right boat, but traveling in the wrong water. You may be in the right boat, but you're on the wrong lake, traveling in the wrong water. You toss to and fro. One thing I believe in, as I've said all through my session, I believe in a person that makes a decision. A decision makes a choice. A debate makes a discussion. You know, sometimes people want to debate me in my ministry. Uh-uh. It ain't going to happen. My ministry is not a democracy. My ministry is a theocracy, and my name is Theo. Now, I'll say it publicly on this, I'm telling you, because I want to tell you something. I'm held accountable for everything in that ministry. So when the United States government says that's not my money, I say that's fine. But it's amazing. If something goes wrong with it, they're going to put me in jail for not my money. So since I got that responsibility, you can call me Theo. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because the buck stops at my desk. That doesn't mean I don't receive instruction. I mean, I receive instruction all the time, especially from Kathy. Kathy's always telling me something to do, which is okay. I mean, that's fine. She said, why don't you listen? I said, I did listen. I didn't say I was going to do it, but I listened. You know what I'm trying to say. But once I make a decision at ministry, I don't go back. Because that causes confusion. If you hesitate in a pew, it will cause confusion. If you hesitate in a pulpit, it'll cause confusion in a pew. If you want to have sure trouble in the church, just hesitate in that pulpit. It'll hit the back pew. Bam! People go, man, pastor don't know what to do. We got trouble on our hand. When do we pay our people, Kathy? The 15th and the what? And the last day of the month. We pay by twice a month. Okay. Now, this ain't true because God's blessed our ministry greatly. You understand what I'm saying? But when I got home and said, and call all the staff, sometimes I call in to have a staff meeting. If I got up and said that, even though it's a lie from the pits of hell, and just say this, I tell you what, we need to pray help. Y'all stand up, grab out, because I don't know if I'll be able to pay y'all in the next 2 or 3 days. Oh, Jesus, I'm telling you what, even though it's a bald-faced lie, because I hesitated in that pulpit, I caused confusion in that pew. Do you see what I'm saying? I don't like ministers that hesitate. Tell me what you're going to do. And even if it turned out wrong, at least you had the guts, gall, and the audacity not to waver. You see my point? So living out the will of God on the earth is living a life of unwavering faith. So if you put faith in something other than the Lord, it is like you're in the right boat but traveling in the wrong water. Let me give you a prime example. Because... And I don't mean to sound prideful or arrogant. I'm a very successful man. It's not my fault. Don't get mad at me. It's he that gave me power. My oldest brother said, Jesse, if you fell in an outhouse, they'd make a perfume out of you. It's amazing. I work very, very hard. And I'm not stupid. I refuse to be stupid. I will not be stupid. When God gave me a brain to think. You see what I'm saying? On my board of directors of Jesse Plant's ministry, I have women on my board. I said, y'all don't patronize me at all. You tell me, why do you have women on your board? Because they think different than a man. They think totally different than a man, which I need that input. How many women I got on my board? One, two, three. Okay. Yeah, three. One, two, yeah, three. And I'm telling you what, man, and most of the men go, oh, yeah. And then women go, and instead of going, oh, what, woman? No, I say, tell me. I need to know that. Because they, you know, men and women, they may be on the same track, but they may be in a different car of the train. But they're on the same track. Prime example, you've heard me do it before. If a man come walking down this aisle and he looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger, you know, he got them pecs and, you know, all that kind of stuff, the pectoralis and all that kind of stuff, you know, whatever that is. You know, just built good. You know what I'm talking about. Pectoral, is that right? Did I say it right? Yeah, tell me that. Say your citizen, pectoral. Okay, you got some pectorals? Look at Cal and say, you ain't got no pectorals. I didn't say that, Jerry. You have to say that. That was built good. You know what I'm talking about? Small waist, big chest, big old arms, all that kind of stuff. What men, they'll see a guy, they'll go, cool. Lord, look at that guy. I bet that guy work out. Yeah, he does, man. Somebody, I wish I had a body like that. Yeah, I bet. That's how most men think. Women, totally different. You let some fox and mama come walking down here. I'm talking, got a shape. Woman, do this. Who does she think she is walking around here strutting herself? Now, she may not be strutting herself. She just walking. But ball women. And then they tell men, you're stupid. She's telling you something. You don't even see it, you stupid thing. Come here with me. Okay. That's why men, when they walk, when they wide, they're like, yeah. Hell no. See, that's the difference. But that's a good difference. That's a good difference. Because, see, they don't want you to waver. Y'all thought I was off the sermon, huh? Uh-uh. Because they don't want to have to kill you, so they don't want you to waver. So if you put your faith in something other than the Lord, it's like you're in the right boat, but you're driving in the wrong water. So a lot of times, my staff sometimes, or some people, they'll say, Brother Jesse is the medium or the vehicle that I am being blessed through. I don't mind, but that's not true. God is your vehicle that blesses you. You see what I'm saying? But a lot of people think, well, you know, he's the one that's going to bless me in everything that I do. And hey, I don't mind doing that. But the minute you make me, quote, your source, you literally tie my hands and God will have no other person before him. Because you see, if you put somebody ahead of God, that becomes a God to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, if you want to live on the earth like it is in heaven, you're going to have to keep the same God on the earth that is in heaven. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? Even in your investments and whatever you may do, I mean, even if you make a good investment or a bad investment, you know, remember, if you invest in something, there's a chance you could lose or a chance you could get blessed. Now, you know, some of the biggest money in the world, let me just help you investment wise. If some of the biggest money in the world is hedge funds. Now, I'm going to tell you something called hedge funds. Hedge funds. Which means you may make $1 billion or you may go broke as a blind goose in a snowstorm. You understand what I'm saying? But if it hits, remember, you're hedging on something. And let me tell you something. Working money is much harder than working for money. Because when you work for money, my God, you come to an end. You work from 9 to 5 or whatever. Bless God, you get your check, you go home. But when you work in money, it's 24/7, 7 days a week. If you involved in that stock market, Kathy gets so mad at me. She said, my God, you're always watching CNN and Fox News and Cavuto and all that kind of stuff. Woman, I got some money in there. I'm watching my money. How come you know all that stuff? Well, because you can go to the mall and don't have to worry about it. Because I know when to move and when not to move. You see what I'm saying? It's called information. 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 You need to know those things. See? But that one, that's 24/7. That isn't. So working for money is easy. But working money is a whole nother ball game. So many people want to get involved in investment. You don't know what you're. If you want to lose some sleep, you get involved in some investments. Especially if you're working it. How about day trading? Oh, Lord Jesus. I call that flipping. You know, sometimes you flip and it's tails. It's not heads. See, you're flipping, you know. I mean, that's some pure work. I want to just nothing but work. Nothing wrong with it. You can do very well in that, but you better be willing to lose some sleep sometimes. And people know what I'm talking about. You see what I'm saying? So when it's the same way with living a life of unwavering faith, not an act of unwavering. I made up my mind not to waver when God told me to do the unbelievable, the impossible. But first thing I want to say is I can't do that. But see, I already know that. So why do I need to express something I already know? So I said, okay, I know I can't, but God in me can do all things. I've had several ministers say, you know, I've been watching you for years. Let me just say this. I've done telethons for a lot of people. Man, I've raised millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars to help people, man. But I've never done a telethon for myself. You know, I can. I'm on a lot of television stations. I can do my own telethon. Never have had to. Let me tell you something else. In 29 years of full-time ministry, I ain't never had a partner meeting. I don't mean that to be arrogant. I ain't had time. But yet, people are partnering with my mission to do. I'm getting partners every day. Lord, gee, this baby growing. And nothing wrong with a partner meeting. I want to do something. But I've never had to go and try to get this thing. I just knew what God told me to do. That doesn't mean that Satan didn't try to hinder me. You see what I'm saying? I mean, he came at me, but I just don't pay much attention to him. It's like a dog barking. I ain't got time to mess with no dog. Yet the signs out there, beware the dog. And I mean, I understand how a dog thinks. I watch the National Geographic Channel. I know how a dog thinks. You ever seen the dog whisperer? How a dog thinks. It's called an alpha male. You got to say, he won't control. You see what I'm saying? You learn a few strategies. It's amazing. And I love it. A dog whisperer says he doesn't train dogs, he trains people. Because you're trying to train your dog like a human being. Well, you got to think like a dog. And let me help you with the Iraq war and all that other kind of stuff or whatever war. If you want to win a war, think like your enemy. Think like your enemy. If you think like your enemy, you're going to know where you are. You're going to know where they are if you think like them. You just got to think like them. What would you do or what would they do in a situation? You got to think like them. And remember, they're not as honorable as you. They don't care about the Geneva Convention. You understand what I'm saying? They don't care about any of that. And they'll use human shields. It makes no difference. But when you get serious, let me just tell you something. All these countries out there that are speaking evil against America, that's like a gnat biting an elephant. Do you realize the power of the United States of America? We can break all economy in the world. We have the biggest economy. Oh, yeah, but the dollar's falling. Why is the dollar falling? Think about it. Think about it. They want you to buy these products and let you brag that your money's worth a little bit more. Fine. Bring the investment here. You talk about the power. America and its power. This old boy down in Venezuela, that's a joke. Now, you know, but see, if you start thinking like them, you won't have those kind of people. Now, I'm not saying to do that, but I'm saying this so you'll know that you don't get caught in an ambush. You're going to have to think like your enemy. I had a man tell me, he said, boy, you seen the know when the devil's at? I said, well, I studied the devil. I didn't just study about God. I studied this boy. How does he operate? How does he function? Well, and a prime outline of him is when he tempts Jesus. I'm sure I had to live a life of unwavering faith. He waits till Jesus is hungry. So he's appealing to his flesh. Hey, you son of man, turn this stone into bread. You deserve to eat. You've been fasting 40 days. What's the matter with you? What did Jesus say? He's not thinking selfish. He's not thinking his body. Man should not live by bread alone. What was that? What was that temptation? You don't use the word of God for personal advantage. Even though you have the power to do so, you don't. Even though he deserved to eat, even though he could turn that stone into bread. No, because the devil's asking you to do something for personal advantage. He said, that ain't working. Let's try something else. Kingdom minded? You're kingdom minded, aren't you? You talk about this kingdom stuff all the time, huh? Yeah. He says, let me show you a kingdom. He takes him up, shows him a kingdom. Watch this. The devil's pretty smart because he's smart in the flesh, but not in the spirit. And when you see how he operates, you mess him up. Bah, 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 you can shut him down. He says, listen, you want a kingdom? I got a kingdom. Run it. It's got money. It's organized. Do it like you want. You're kingdom-minded, man. You're Jesus. All you got to do, worship me. Ain't nobody got to know. Just me and you. Second temptation. Never associate yourself with wicked people, even for the attainment of what you believe in for. Lord Jesus. Listen to me. You want to figure out how this works? Now, I'm telling you, this is how this works. He says, that ain't working because, you know, they've been to them Copeland meetings. as them word people. Watch this. The devil said, let's use some word. He says, doesn't it say in your book? Takes him to the pinnacle of the temple. I said, he said, why don't you just go ahead and jump off since you got the power? I mean, what's the difference? Because it says that your angels, that these are the guys that work for you, coming out your book, won't let you bust your foot or dash it against a stone. Jesus looks at him. Why? Third temptation. Never perform a godly act in a prideful spirit. He's trying to appeal to Jesus' pride. That's the same thing on the cross. He ain't got nothing new. Strike one, strike two, strike three, you out, devil, it's over. Even he couldn't think of nothing new between that temptation by the time Jesus got to the cross. So he gets the thief to say, hey, call yourself the Son of God? Take yourself off the cross. Save me and save yourself. Which he had the power to do so. But he wouldn't perform that. Now, see, this is what happened in the 50s and messed up a lot of healing evangelists. They start casting out devils. What's your name, devil? Who cares what the devil name is? Well, you going to his house? What street do you live on in hell, devil? Tell him. You ain't got time to be talking to the devil and asking where he live and who he is. He got to just come out. I had a pastor friend of mine years ago. Y'all enjoying it? I'm giving you some revelation. You want to figure this out? You never use the word of God for personal advantage. You never associate yourself with wicked people for the attainment of a good end. And you never perform a godly act in a prideful spirit. Now, that's a book. You can have it. I haven't wrote the book. Take it. Do you see what I'm saying? He don't have no more. He doesn't have any more because he's getting older and older. So he's decaying. And you that are born again, living a life of unwavering faith, is getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Now, all of a sudden, the will of God in heaven is now happening on the earth. Now, you get ready for other people to get mad at it because they're going to get angry about you when you get blessed. They get mad at you if you get healthy. Well, I tell you what, when you go to a, well, just tell you this, you ought to be proud you hadn't been in a hospital since you was born. Yeah, but I bet when you go to a hospital, you'll be the worst, patient you ever seen. Why? Because you were. Why are you judging me according to what you do? Do you understand what I'm saying? That's why God said, judge not. Because why? You can only judge people what you would do. And you figure if you can't do it, why can they do it? Well, they just might be smarter. There are some smarter people, but there's no one smarter than God. Amen. You let him ask of God. You say, if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So you can see, so I studied Satan. Now, how he's going to operate against me? When I was building my buildings years ago. God said, now, same principle. Psalms chapter 1. Blessed, empowered to prosper. I like that. Is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Read right over that. First thing you do, a preacher does, he go get somebody that don't know God and a man in the moon and start receiving counsel on how to function and build one of God's buildings. First thing you do. Yeah, but he's an architect. I don't care who he is. Yeah, but he's the best in computer technology. That's why you spent so much and you never got what you spent. Because you counseled with the ungodly. So when I would do business, I say, you know Jesus? Huh? Do you know Jesus? Are you born again? I've had some say, yeah. You filled with the Holy Ghost? Yeah. Speak in tongues. That sounds nuts? Not to me. I want to prosper. I'm on a mission here. I got business to do. I'm going to stand accountable to God and to my partners. Because, they gave to that. So when they come, it better be there. Right? It just makes sense. Well, you know, and then here they come. Yeah, but I've been doing this for 40 years. Well, the devil has been doing it for millions. But he's still a dummy. I will not do those things. Now, you do what you want to do. This is living out the will of God on the earth as it is in heaven by living a life, not an act of unwavering faith, but a life. So when I get in a boat, I want to be in the right boat on the right lake going the right way. So I can get to the right place to do the right thing. Do you see my point? Are y'all enjoying this? Let me hurry here. I know y'all been here a long time. Write this down. Clean living and clear thinking is a priority to unwavering faith. Now, how do you have clean living and clear thinking? This way. Sin does not dwell in the will of God. Sin does not dwell in the will of God. You see, a lot of people think you can mix sin with the will of God. It won't happen. It's a carcinogenic chemical. It's a killer. Sin is a killer. Let me say it again. If you want to have clear thinking and clear living, and clear thinking is a priority to unwavering faith, sin does not dwell in the will of God. See, so what I have to do is put my body under subjection. Now, can I be honest here today? This is my last few. Some people make you mad. To the point, as Brother Copeland said earlier, you want to cuss. Why do you want to cuss? Now let's just think natural here for just a second. Because there's no other word that expresses what you're feeling. Am I telling the truth? Shucks. Shucks. Boy, that cussing river, it's in there, man. And somebody just rip you off and say that. You think, now we're dealing natural. It sounds because it's legitimate in the mind. The only way I can express how I'm feeling is not to use intelligent words, to use slang. I even tried one time. I got so mad at a guy preacher. I said, Lord, I even tried to spiritualize what I was feeling. Let me minister to him. Minister. You know what I had in my mind? Come here, sucker. I'm going to make an offer you don't refuse. Now, I believe in raising the dead, but I'm going to kill you first. I'm going to make sure you feel it before I reach. You can't do that. But you feel like that sometimes. Let's just be honest, right? But that doesn't mean it's right. Now you're starting to waver. I don't like it when people cuss. I've had some people cuss me. And sometimes without thinking, I said, you want a piece of me? Don't let that white hair fool you. Come on. And the Lord said, you're a preacher. Not now, I'm not. You want to meet the old Jesse? Huh? You want me to show you somebody that'll hurt you and smile? God said, you'll have to go to the graveyard. I said, I'm almost there, Lord. I'm going to raise that dead man. I want to be Dracula. Now, don't laugh at me. You feel the same way. Going down the road and somebody cut in front of you and they give you some sign language. It's happened to you, huh? Yeah. You go, oh, you want to reach under that seat, take that gun, boom. Oh, did you lose your finger? You'll never do this again, sucker. But we believe in healing. Let me pray for your fingerless hand. No, you can't do that. You don't look at me. You know, it's happened to you. That's why you went. But if you waver. I did that one time. I tell you my successes and my failure. I was a preacher. I was saved for about 4 years when my sister asked me to go cut a deal for her to buy a car. When I was a kid, I sold cars. I understand something. I said, okay. She said, Jesse, you should kind of know that stuff. I said, yeah, okay. I'll go down there with you. I said, well, go down there first. I'll be there. You'll probably get there before. Kind of pick what you want, see what you want. And once you settle on a certain vehicle, I said, I'll be there. We'll cut the deal for you. Help you out. Okay. We had just come back from church. I was just feeling so good. I walk in. There's my sister, Deborah. Hey, Jess. And this guy said, who's this? This is my brother. Now, you could tell the same way, like, what is he doing here? He's going to cut the deal for me. I said, did you find what you want? They decided they wanted a truck instead of a car. Watch this. So he said, well, this is the deal we've done. I said, oh, that's not a deal. This is what we want. I said, give me your sticker price. I said, nah. I said, you're looking down here. I said, did you read this piece of paper up here? It's a, up here it says suggested retail price. This is where we start. Since it's a suggestion. I said, none of y'all never think of that, huh? You think down here. No. We're starting here. Yeah, but we got all this other stuff. We'll deal with that later. This is suggested retail price. So the markup is already here. Not down here. It's already here. So that's more markup down here. So we're talking. Now, you see, the problem with America is they don't care how much something costs. They just want to know how much the note is. How much the note? Then they figure, well, I can make that note and buy it. Wrong way of thinking. Okay, watch this. So, now, nah, man, I'm feeling good. You know what I mean? I got the anointing of God. I mean, I'm saved, man. I'm just blessed. Watch this. So, man, I'm squeezing him. Every time he said, I said, that's not right. This is right. He said, well, I'm going to show you what we paid. I said, anybody can show me what they want me to see. I used to sell cars. Well, I saw his jaw go. I said, what you showing me, I showed other people. I said, this is what we want to pay right here. Deborah go, oh, yeah, Jeff, that's the day, yeah. I said, that'll knock down a note about $90. This is what we're going to pay. We got a deal here? He said, you a finance man? Here comes the Tabasco sauce up the legs. And I heard myself say, what did that sucker say? Call me a finance man. Kathy looked at me. I could hear the Lord in a faint voice. Crucify it. And I could hear this voice. You deserve to let it go. Let it go. Let it go. I said, what'd you say to me? He stood up. He just stood up. He should not have stood up. When he stood up, I stood up. What he was standing up for, he was mad at me, but he was going to go in and get to his manager. But in my mind, since I'm now in the flesh, he wants some of me. This is 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He walks out. I said, what did you say? Now, this is a big man. But you see, when you're in the flesh, big don't mean nothing. Especially if you've been raised up with Italians on the streets. Because you get you an equalizer. Whatever it takes. I don't make no difference. Garbage can, truck, gun, bat, wire. Kathy goes, oh, he said, what? And when he said what, I slammed him up against that truck. But I caught him with my elbow in his throat. He goes, I said, sucker, I'm gonna bust this up. And I heard the Lord, you're going to jail. I said, I don't care. I'm going to jail. Now my brother comes in. He sees it. He goes, anybody else want something here? Remember that one? Anybody else? All of a sudden, we didn't speak in English no more. We became the slang dictionary. I'm going to whip up and blunt monkey. This guy going, and I got him. And Deborah going, oh, Jesse, I ran back. I'm going to bust this guy. I don't care. I'm going to jail. Okay. It's worth it. I'll think about his bloody face. I'll just think about his blood coming out of his face as I'm in jail. Yeah, yeah. That's how mean. That's how... And he goes, and the Lord said, witness to him. It came through the jump. And I went, would you like to meet Jesus? It was terrible. Now, that's my failure. I got to tell you my failure. He go, ah, what? And my brother going, Jesus? Talking about Jesus here, we're gonna open up the whole can, buddy. We're gonna attack some. We're going to jail, so we're gonna whip or get whipped. That don't make no difference. He went, Jesus. And I dropped my hand, but I'm still choking him with my elbow. I got him up and I back off. And he goes, listen, mister, you can have the truck for the price. I said, no, excuse me, listen. I said, I know God. Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, yeah, okay. I said, no. Now, this is a big guy who probably could have squashed me, man. But when you're angry and that mad, you don't care. It made no difference. I done made up my mind. to pay the cost. See, and that's a dangerous individual. Once they made their mind, they're going to jail. Or like we say, you're going to college. In the old days. So you know when we went to college. It didn't make no difference. Okay, so you could go to jail for 5 years. Yeah. Yeah. Didn't make any difference. That's a dangerous individual. And I said, listen, I want to repent to you. I mean, it was, Wayne, repent. Repent. Man, he said, I'm proud of you, Jesse. I thought you were going to take him out, man. He said, I thought I was the muscle of the family. You're doing good. He wasn't saved then. He didn't care. He loved it. This is my younger brother. Go ahead, boy. I was wrong. I wavered greatly. Not a little bit. I wavered greatly. I was wrong. I said, sir, I ask you to forgive me. He said, so the owner come out. He said, good Lord. Y'all are going to whip everybody in here. And my brother said, well, he may not. Well, I still whip everybody. It made no difference. He said, I've been 1 mile in Alcatraz. It don't make no difference to me, son. I don't care. I said, he said, okay, Jesse. I said, listen, I apologize. I said, can I pray? People go. I got in the car and Kathy goes, what's the matter with you? I said, I don't know, man. I said, I feel bad enough as it is. I repented for 3 days. And the Lord forgave me the first time. But I said, it ain't enough. I got to repent again. Jeez, I'm an idiot, stupid. Well, that's not living out the will of God on the earth. I had just started television. No, I hadn't been on television. Thank God I wasn't on television. Thank God I wasn't on television. That's right, thank God. Yeah, man, it was just such a blessing. But you know, that kind of stuff gets around. You know, the next Sunday I went to church. Pastor said, do you need prayer, Brother Jesse? I said, well, you know, I can always use some, Pastor. He said, I heard you almost killed everybody down there at the Trap Chevrolet. I said, does anybody else know? He said, the whole church knows. That kind of stuff travels, buddy. True story. I was wrong. Which brings me to this. No one has the right to be resigned to ignorance when there is so much knowledge around you. I couldn't say I didn't know any better because that's a lie. I did know better. Let me say it again. No one has the right to be resigned to ignorance when there is so much knowledge around you. I've done some crazy things in my life. I'm not big enough, but I didn't care when I was more. I mean, I've had policemen. I mean, back up. I mean, get your shotgun, son. You going to do something here? Something going to happen here. He said, now that's stupid. That's the dumbest, stupidest thing you can ever do in life. You see, because you're not going to hurt yourself, you're going to hurt a bunch of people that may love you. You see what I'm saying? So the Lord said, Jesse, a very famous preacher, if I named him, you know him. He said, you know, I've been knowing you for years. I see a lot of women follow you. That don't bother you. I said, no. He said, Jesse, God put millions and millions and millions of dollars in your hand. Yeah, that don't bother you. So he said, does anything ever bother you? I said, temper. For a small man, I had a temper. How many times I said, Lord, I lost my temper? He said, it looked like to me you found it, Jesse. See, I would like you to lose this temper. I had to work on that, George. That's not easy. I mean, that's not easy when you raise. And if you're little, people mess with you. Growing up and you're little, they always trying to hit your butt, this and that. And messing with you. You know, big guy, you know, you got a little sense. You know, if I was Mike, I mean, Mike stand up. It's like God. Yeah. But when you're little, people push you around. You can do this kind of stuff. And enough's enough. And enough's enough. So sometimes you have to get an equalizer. In those days. Look at Kathy. And she's helped me. Kathy's helped me too. But I tell you what, as Kathy's got older, I've had to tell her, woman, you got to control that temper. Oh, you ought to see her sometime, man. Get in the car. I'm going to just tell her. The other day she's in the car and somebody did something in the car. I can't believe he did that. I tell you, she killed. Boy, she was hot. I said, whoa, mama. Let us pray. She said, it's a hot flash. I said, oh, yeah, it's a hot flash, all right. You hot? We were one time coming from Australia. And I find in Australia, this is before we had our own intercontinental plane. So we were flying commercial. And the people in Australia and other areas, their bags, when they check to see how big your bag is, overseas is smaller than the ones in America. Now, Kathy got this Louis Vuitton bag. She like it, see? So she said, now look. I said, what? She says, don't look at the people. I said, what do you mean, don't look at the people? She says, don't look. Take the bag, stick your head down, and walk like this. Just take the bag, walk right past the little woman there, and don't say nothing, you understand? Because I don't want to check my bag, you understand? Because this bag costs more, and all that. I said, okay. You know? Well, I'm friendly, you know? So I'm walking like this. And this lady said, hello. I went, hi, how you doing? Kathy, shut up. Put your head down. And the lady says, can I check your bag? I said, oh, yes, ma'am. She said, you cannot put that on a plane. Here comes Kathy. Excuse me. On the last flight we had it in, no, we was flying first class. On the last flight we had it on the plane, well, that was the last flight. That's not this flight. I said to myself, hey, I'm going to back up right here. Now, Kathy's in front of me. She said, ma'am, you're going to have to check it. I don't want to check it. She said, well, you're going to have to check it. I don't have to do nothing but pay taxes and die. Now, Kathy getting mad, son. I'll be honest with you, I'm a little proud of her. Go ahead, mama. Get down with your bad self. Get down with your bad self, baby. So I'm just standing there. I mean, the anointing of God is on me. I'm so calm, reserved, and blessed. Kathy, she said, what's your name? Who's your boss? She said, you're not getting on that plane with that bag. I mean, Kathy and her are like this. I'm going, voo, 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 voo. I'm just sitting there. She looked at me, what are you looking at? I said, you. So she took her bag and checked it. Oh, Kathy was hot, man. And I got on the plane. Kathy said, I'll tell you one thing. I said, you know, woman, you need prayer. I can't believe you acting like that. She said, shut up. I said, you don't want prayer? No, I want your head in a minute. I'll cut your head off with this plastic knife. Shut up. She gonna mess up my bag. Now, you know why she was mad? Because they lost all our... On the other flight, they lost all our luggage. I said, well, what are you so mad about? I don't have any underwear. I don't have nothing. I went, you don't have what? She said, I don't have any underwear. I give you praise in the sanctuary. I give you praise. I went, hey! Hey! Look at her. She look at you. I kill you. Man, I got my lean back. What's up, mama? What's up? She said, I gotta go to the store soon to get off this plane. I said, we'll go. Don't worry about it. She was so mad. There's some places people, you know, everybody's got a button. And somebody pushes it. But you see, that may be true, but you shouldn't be resigned to that. Let me say it again. No one has the right to be resigned to ignorance when there's so much knowledge around. I am preaching good this afternoon. I am preaching good. Now, let me get off of Kathy and get on Carolyn Saville here. When you go with Carolyn and Jerry, Carolyn is the lead dog. Understand? She's going to be up front. She out. She walk. And a lot of times people know us, you know. And she'll tell me and Jerry, stick your head down. What?
Stick your head there. Don't look. Just come on, follow us. So all you see is me and Jerry. We look like the two stooges. Okay. Keep our head down. Because they're trying to get to someplace. Keep your head down. Keep your head down. Okay. Keep your head down. Yeah, but we want to look around. Put your head down. Okay. But can we look around? Not now. And people go, are you Jesse? I'm going, what? Are you Jesse? I said, no. And I point to Jerry. He's Jesse. He's Jesse. He came and said, keep your head down. We're trying to get somewhere here. I said, I understand. Me and Jerry, we're so nice. We're nice. We are very nice. We just smile. But we don't get too far. We're nice, you know. Let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. Nothing. So, in closing, I want to say, I done forgot what I'm going to say. I know where I'm at. Jesse can be up in the bleachers, but he'll be back at home plate before you realize it. I know what I'm doing. I want to live like people live in heaven. And Jesus said I could. Now, whether the church world believes that, that's your business. I decided that I would live on the earth like I would live in heaven. Just that simple. Just that simple. That is so simple. And God goes, that is so refreshing to hear that from one of my children. Because all I ever wanted to do was bless. That's the first word he ever told Adam and Eve. He blessed them. All I ever wanted to do was for you to walk in the blessing. That's it. That's all God. I love what Brother Copeland said, that if it wouldn't have been for sin, God would have never had a serious thought. He didn't have it on his mind. Now, some people say, well, why did he put that tree in the garden? Because it needed to be there. How do you know it needed to be there? Because the Garden of Eden was just one green spot stuck on a desert planet that was supposed to overgrow its boundaries and fill the earth. That's why God told him to keep it and dress it. It's supposed to overgrow its boundaries and start taking over the desert and whatever to fill the earth with nothing but beauty. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what it was for. Give you something to do and something to be proud of what you do, see. So I'm not talking about an act of unwavering faith. I'm talking about living a life of unwavering faith. So now, and I close with this, when something comes that seems insurmountable, and we've had them, don't misunderstand me. And I thought, what did the Lord say about that? And sometimes I have to go do a refresher course on stuff that I've known for years, like a doctor does. He may be practicing every day, but all of a sudden, once a year or twice a year, whatever, they'll go to a refresher course for a week or two, you know, just to refresh themselves. Because see, it's the big stuff you can handle because you go in the emergency mode. It's that little stuff that gets you. It's like termites. You don't know they're dead, that it'll eat your house down. Jesus said that it's the little foxes that spoil the barn. And once you break these principles, when you start stepping over certain little principles, at first they don't mean much, but they grow and grow and grow because every time you make that step, you're putting yourself closer to the flesh than you are to the spirit. So I can say this, and I'm proud of this in all my ministry, when it comes to the business dealings of Jesse the Planter's ministries, which is God's business, I have not broke a principle. Oh, I've wanted to, but I've refused to because I won't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Amen. And I won't sit in the seat of the scornful. Amen. People always tell me, why don't you say something about that person? That ain't none of my business. That's right. That's none of my business. Not that I don't, you know, that I don't pray for them. Okay, that's, you know, and concerned about them, but I'm just saying, that's none of my business. I stay out of that. You know, I have a lot of people sometimes because you're on television in certain areas, you know, you have some power and sway, you know, because people watch you. Why don't you take on this particular whatever thing and talk about it? Because God didn't call me to do that. Now, that makes people mad because, see, they got their agenda in mind, not mine or God's, but theirs. So it turns out to be something selfish. You see, instead of doing the will of God. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, I'll say it again to all you ministers and people that are in building programs. You can build debt-free and under budget. But you're going to have to look at some people in the face that has way more experience than you, that knows more than you do in terms of that, and say, you haven't heard the voice of the Lord. I have. And we're going to build this for this amount of money, and it's going to be better than it's ever been. Now, I want to tell you something. And all doing, if it's a building project, they'll be constantly trying to change your mind. Constantly trying to change your mind. In fact, I can say this here. We're in right now, pretty soon, we're going to be building the final home. I told Kathy, build what you want. And I'm just looking for some companies, Christian companies, that I can, instead of giving money to center companies, if you're in that kind of business, you might want to let us know about it. You know, in fact, when we were building, I mean, this man here did all the floors in our ministry, am I correct? And did a wonderful job, still walking on them floors. Floors are doing good. I've had people say, well, some nice floors. I said, you got to go to Chattanooga, Tennessee to find out. That's the man that did that. You see, I would rather be a blessing to him than I would be to Santa. Nothing against you, Santa, but I mean, hey, you got to love your people. Got to be with your people. You got to stick with your people. You got to stick with your people. So I'd rather give you the business. You don't think the Lord's blessed me? I paid for someone's swimming pool. Just wanted to be a blessing. Just gave it to them. Kathy said, build any pool you want. Jesus, Kathy. Okay, they did. Well, the other day somebody found out that we're building that house, and they wired Kathy or emailed or texted or something like that, and they said, we heard you're building a big house. Yeah. Ooh, Jesus, yeah. Well, we want to give you a big pool for your big house so we can magnify our big God. I didn't even ask for it. I don't mind paying for it. I have the money to pay for it. That's not the issue. But automatic. And Kathy comes to me, she said, guess what? I said, what? Then it dawned on me, I sowed that seed. See, what you sow is what you reap. Yeah, she said, you know, yeah. She said, well, buddy, isn't this a miracle of the Lord? Now, I'm not asking you to do anything. I don't want you to misunderstand it. What I'm saying is, but I would rather be a blessing to someone that knows the Lord. In fact, I tell our church people, find out the business people of our church and do business with them. Now, if they don't put out a good product and do good service, then don't do business with them. Just because you're a Christian, I'm your Christian brother, you'll do business with me. No. No. You got to do something correct. You got to do it right. You have to have the same responsibilities I have. And don't give me this hogwash. We are Christian. Can we pay in a couple of months? When do you want your money? Now. Well, they want theirs too. They deserve it. So do right. You see what I'm saying? When you do right about that, and what it does, I have some business friends says when they tell people I'm a Christian, they don't want to do business with them. But they don't have that good of a reputation out there. People don't pay their bills or something like that. And I said, that ain't going to happen around here. We don't do that. Because you want to glorify God instead of, you want to be a reflection of Christ instead of casting a reflection upon Christ. That's good. Instead of be a reflection of him instead of casting a reflection upon him. And that's what I have endeavored to do in my ministry and in my business and anything that I go to do, whatever it might be, you know, whatever, that I can be a reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I can live out the life of God. In fact, Jody, my daughter, said, Dad, you and Mama can just do about anything y'all want. I said, yes. Why do y'all? Well, we want to go home. You know, I travel all the time. Could go anywhere. But I just rather go home. Just hang around the house a little bit. You know, just do nothing. Walk around. I don't know. Me and Kathy go on a Saturday, go get us some gumbo yaya or something like that, you know. Down New Orleans, something like that, you know. The other day I said, let's go to Vegas. Now, I don't gamble. Don't need to gamble because that's a chance.
That's right.
I'm a giver. That's a sure deal. I mean, where are you going to get else? Where else can you get 100-fold? Where else are you going to get 100-fold? Think about that for a minute, huh? But you know what? Wherever I'm at, I'm a light. And you know, if you're in Las Vegas, you got to walk through a casino to get out of a hotel. Just whatever. I mean, they did make sure that you won. So I said, well, Kathy, let's go. She said, Jesse, we've been to the Venetian, the Bellagio. She said, let's try that Wynn Hotel. I said, Mr. Wynn, yeah, okay. And guess who I'll run into? Wynn himself. Walking down, I said, hello, bye-bye, nice buddy. Make a long story short, I said, well, it's time for us, we're going to go to church, I'm preaching a meeting. Well, you got to walk to the casino. I walk to the casino, and this lady goes, howdy, how you doing? Brother Jesse? I said, well, how you do it? Now, we stand in the middle of this casino and start talking about God like you ain't never seen. Jaling, jaling, jaling. I mean, we just pray it and thought, just, I said, how do I do this? And they were there as a business. They were having a business meeting there at the hotel. He was going to go to the business meeting. She said, are you preaching tonight? I said, yeah, I'm preaching to this church. She said, honey, let's don't go to that business meeting. Let's go hear Brother Jesse. That's how she talked. Sweet people. Man, we stood there for how long, Kathy? 40 minutes? At least 40. I mean, talking the word of God. Right in the middle of the casino. Well, you're afraid somebody might think you'd be gambling? No. No, I ain't afraid of nothing. Fear tolerates, faith contaminated. I'm just sitting there talking about the Lord. Well, anyway, we start walking down. The guy said, hey, man, if you're that close to God, pray for me. I said, well, here's a word. Get out of here. Here's a word for you. Get out of that. Just think about it. $2 billion hotel, $2.5 billion. Who's winning? You don't beat the house. But you get so excited. You hear, ding, 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 ding. Oh, somebody just won $100,000, but somebody just lost $4 million. Come on, let the elevator get to the top. And they even change it. They don't call it gambling no more. They call it gaming. So it's not gambling no more. It's just gaming. Now, you know, but I don't buy them. Why do you like Las Vegas? Well, they got everything in the world seems to be in Las Vegas. I like Las Vegas. Then I said, Kathy, go down there. I said, I'm going to rent this place. I want to have a meeting on this strip. Now, I've been to the Cashman Center. I've been to the, you know, convention center in Vegas. And I've had good meetings there. I said, I want to get right down. I want to get right slap in the middle of a Venetian hotel. So I went down there. I said, they got 2 million square foot. They said, we can do anything, Reverend. I said, you sound like God. He said, you tell us what you want, we'll get it done. And I thought, well, bless the Lord. Why not have a meeting right slap in the middle of everything? Why not? So we're working on that right now. I'm not talking about down at the convention. I'm talking right slap. They're going to have to walk through cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-chang, and all that kind of stuff. Why not? We're going to make the devil nervous. Oh, and we can live a life of unwavering faith with that all around us. Yeah, because my circumstances don't determine who I am. I am the architect of my life. Did you enjoy it today? Stand to your feet. Come on, give the Lord a big God bless you. Hallelujah. 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 Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, you need to get through these things and study them out. But I want to say my last word to you, and I'll still be here, but I'm just saying, Brother Copeland preaching tonight in Healing School tomorrow, but I'm just saying this, there's nothing you can't do. There's nothing you can't do if you just believe God. Mike, you can have the biggest prison ministry in the world. Hey, I'm telling you, to a point where you got so much that the Lord's begging you, can say, what am I going to do with this? My young man here, I watch him in his acting career. I like the way you act. I've seen a lot of your movies. I appreciate that. I like that guy. What's your name? I said, this man's a good actor. He acted with Denzel Washington when he's a sailor. I like that. I said, God, that's a blessing. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, there's nothing. None of you. There's nothing you can't do. I see a lot of you people are nothing. Seriously, God believes that much in you. When I went to Stephen and his wife's church, I thought, my God, we had such a wonderful time. There's nothing. And Israel's, he got one of them churches that just boogies, boy. And they just sing and they dance. And I thought, that's great. I like that. I've been to arts right here in Anaheim and Joanne. They're nothing. Just get you a dream. And don't let nobody ever talk you out of that dream. And you can have the will of God on this earth. And then when you get to heaven, you go, the Lord will make you a teacher. You're going to have to show people how to live. I'm telling you. That doesn't mean the devil won't fight you, but you walk over there. You don't even worry about that. Because all he's got is flesh. But what you got is everything this Bible said. It's been an honor, ladies and gentlemen. Give Jesus a hand clap. Brother Lincoln. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Excellent.